بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. A youngster requested some job. He saw an old elderly person carrying a heavy parcel. So he says to him, "I'm prepared to carry this to your home for some reward, like what we'll say a coolie, porter." In the old days, any type of work was not looked at as menial. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had encouraged sadaqah. The Sahaba Kiram say that we had no job. The only job that we could find was to carry loads. And we volunteered to carry loads. Someone's parcel, someone's goods, someone's consignment, carried on our backs, and we should deliver them. How much? 1 dirham, 2 dirhams. But this aspect of halal rozi, we do not feel despised in spite of the lowly nature of that work. The fact that it was halal, it was the sweat of the brow, it was halal earned, so it didn't bring us any type of embarrassment, any type of disgrace. And the same Sahaba Ikram say that after that, we worked in the same way. Now each one of us that carried or worked hard in that manner, earned a few coppers, carried on his life, and maybe some his encouragement we gave out in sadaqah and charity. Now each one of us are multi-millionaires. Then these are menial work, small work, little work. Perhaps it was contemptible, people didn't show respect. But for us it was nothing, absolutely nothing. A Muslim looks at the halal of the nature of the work, not at how people look at the work. People's opinions keep changing. One day it's for you, one day it's against you. But what is to be seen is this halal or not? Is this permissible or not? Is this according to the sunnah or not? Once the person has got this in mind, he won't hesitate doing any job. As Ali radiallahu anhu comes home and he sees that there's some starvation at home. So he takes an old leather, covers his head, and looks out for a job. The only job that he can find is draw out water from a well for a Jewish person. Now imagine taking up an employment for the Jew. He doesn't hesitate doing so. And drawing out water from the well, he doesn't hesitate. And doing something halal. He didn't look at himself, "I am the son-in-law of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I am supposed to be amongst the Khulafai Rashideen." And what? He didn't look at all that. What he saw was that, is this work halal or not? Is it permissible or not? So, doing some type of menial job was not looked at as contemptible, like how it is done nowadays. Before starting of a job, we're looking, is this work of respect and honor, or a work of contempt? So things that are contemptible, they are looked up with respect. But going to the bank, taking an overdraft facility, getting involved in interest, and doing another whole host of wrong type of business and activities, people look up with respect. You're doing a type of business, you've got a business, and it's contaminated with haram, got an outlet selling halal and haram, all mixed up. But people are looking at him with respect, so he feels all right, as long as I'm looked up at with respect. One youngster comes to me and says, "No, I want to become a cricketer." I ask him why. He said, "No, you see Hashim Amla, how much he's earning. flying here, flying there, he's become so famous, so much money he's earning. So I want to become a cricketer. But to him, that is not making logical sense. I ask him, what do you mean? I explain to him, see, this type of profession, the whole of South Africa, how many Indians have got it? Playing cricket at an international level, right? So, the whole of South Africa, how many Indians had qualified for this? One. Right? What's the population, South African population? Over 60 million. From 60 million, one person got chosen. Right? What are the chances that you will get selected? In the meanwhile, you will then train yourself, cricket, morning, left out madrasa, left everything out, and went to train. Right? Thereafter, after training, going through all the difficulty, paying whatever for tuition, training, exercising, all that, and nothing came into your pocket. So isn't it a big waste of time? That's one side of it. Second side of this whole sport is this, that you're not going to be using your money to learn, you'll use your father's money, or you'll use some bursary to use to do this here. You wasted your money and time, you wasted your uncle or father's time money, right? The third, look at the culture of this thing here. Right? Now you are playing, and all over there are advertisements of Castle Lager. Huh? On your jersey, alright, maybe you'll say that I will not wear the jersey, alright, that I will accept that. But all around you is all Castle Lager advertisements. You're playing there. Number three. Number four, whilst you are playing, then they all women and all that there, right? Music is blasting, woman is there. Number five, then this type of a contract, is it permissible? Earning to play cricket. They're paying you for what? To play cricket. So is that type of a contract a valid contract? It comes under istijara, right? But is this type of istijara permissible, that you are contracting yourself for a fee to play cricket or to play any other ball, any other game? Is it permissible? So now, because people look at it with respect, you're coming in the television, coming in the video, coming in WhatsApp, so you're getting a lot of money, you want to do it. Right? Now the Sahaba Ikram didn't look at it like that. Sahaba Ikram said, oh, whether that work looks contemptible, menial, but we will do it. Right? We're not looking at the respect, we're not looking at the glory, we're not looking at the recognition, we're not looking at anything else. Yes, it's very permissible, it will be halal. So now, initially it looked very, very menial, but thereafter, those same Sahaba Kiram that did this type of menial jobs, then they became multi-millionaires. They say, you are so much wealth, you don't know what to do with that wealth. Can't find any place to go and deposit that wealth, so much of money. See? So we're talking of this youngster, and he's offering himself for some type of work. See, halal. The sweat of the brow. Allah Pak likes it. Maybe some likes it. So nowadays what happened is that a wrong is considered to be a wrong, provided people see it to be contemptible. So if you are a director of a bank, or manager of a bank, and people look at you with respect. Right? But the whole operation is revolving around halal or haram. Revolving around haram. But people look at this work as respectable, so you don't condemn it. You will condone it. You will not condemn it. Why? Because people... So what people will condemn, that will be respectable, that will be acceptable, right? Now look at it, on one side, the whole operation is around interest, but because people don't look at it with contempt, so you don't mind doing it. Right? But now, they say it is a job, right? You're going to get 40,000 rand a month to be a manager at the bank, right? They give you the same salary, 40,000 to be a manager of a piggery. Hey, astaghfirullah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No, the piggery, there is some halal things also, because they'll be selling some sheep also on the side. So there'll be some halal work there as well. But are you going to take that on? I don't want to take it on. This bank job, you don't mind taking. That job, you don't want to take on. Why? Because people look at this as with contempt. They don't look at that as with contempt. So now the question comes, who is your Allah Ta'ala? People or Allah Ta'ala? Who is going to stipulate your deen? Is it people that's going to stipulate the deen? Or is it Allah Ta'ala that's going to stipulate what is halal and haram? A person comes for a proposal, who are you? No, I'm the son of a bank manager. This man is nobody, all right. Seems to be a secure person. All right. The next person came for a proposal for your daughter. Who are you? No, my father is the manager of a piggery. Now you will take it. He earns very well. He earns very well. He's manager this time, but see that. So people look at it with contempt. So if you make up your mind, who is your God? Who is Allah Ta'ala? Is it a different God or is the same Allah Ta'ala? So in many respects, that interest is worse than that piggery job. Because though that swine all is haram, but that warning that came about interest did not come about a piggery. Interest, the warning came that you are declaring war against Allah Ta'ala. So I ask you that if Allah Ta'ala announces war against you, any hope of winning, any hope of going, I'm fighting you, I'm going to fight against you. Any way you're going to win, can't. You must write it down. You are losing. You lost. You see, these old people, how they look at life. It's all right. It's all right to people look with content, but it's a halal job. Let me do it. Allah Ta'ala bless them. One progeny, one generation, second generation. But the second generation, they're doing very well. So, looking at the work, is it halal or not, right? So you want to take a job as a professional person, and maybe you miss out your namaz. It's all right. Yeah, you're taking a menial job, but you're not neglecting your namaz. I ask, what's better? Right? What's better? So these aspects are not considered. A few days ago, a school principal came here. He says, no, I'm posted as a principal, the school year, so and so in school. But then there'll be some things now I'm not sure, not clear about. So what are you not clear about? Because they're going to have obviously there's going to be children from different backgrounds, Christian, Hindu, Muslim, all children will be there, right? And there are going to be all these type of children. So I cannot discriminate a Muslim from a Christian from a Hindu, right? And I will have to treat each one of them equally. So if it's, for example, approaching Christmas or some type of a Christian festival, then I will have to allow them to do that. The children, however they want to celebrate, they must be allowed to celebrate. It's a Hindu thing, Diwali or something, and they must be allowed to celebrate. So, what do I do? So I admire that person. I'm going to have that consciousness, that awareness, that he's not bloating with the job that I'm a principal. He's concerned now that am I going to be doing something haram or halal? So he's concerned. So, what's going on today is we're looking at the nature of the job. Is it a job that is looked up with respect or with disgrace? Right? It's looked up with respect, alright. So we can be mixing up things, contaminating things, polluting things, alright. So long as it's looked up with respect. So this youngster, he doesn't mind carrying someone's parcel, taking a fee for it, doesn't mind. Halal, I'm sweat of the brow, so I'm not eating anybody's wealth. Allah Pak likes this. If I die in the process, then I will die faithful, I will die as a winner. Because I didn't mix up things. As he's carrying the parcel for this old man, parcel of fish, this youngster hears the adhan. Perhaps maybe Zuhar Namaz, and he hears the adhan. So he says to that old man, "Chacha, you know what, keep your fish, I will perform my namaz and then I will continue. As it is, I haven't taken the fees yet for my work, so you're not at a loss in any way, and I will perform my namaz and then I will continue." So the chacha says, "Alright, that's one." Now namaz is performed and people have performed the namaz. Now they proceeding towards the home. This juncture is not coming out of the masjid. Some nafil namaz and some zikr and Quran Sharia, whatever, whatever. So this chacha that is called that fish now, he is becoming restless. So everybody is out of the masjid, the youngster is still in the masjid. So he shouts out, "Hey youngster, come out now, man. Just go and deliver my parcel." So the youngster replies, "Chacha, wo to nikalne nahi deta. He's not allowing me to come out. He's not allowing me to come out of the masjid." So the chacha became a little bit angry, irritated. He said, "Kon nikalne nahi deta? Who is not allowing you to come out?" He said, "Jo aapko andar aane ko nahi aate tha. The one that is not allowing you to come inside, he's not allowing me to come out." So you see, now that's disgrace. Allah Pak is not allowing you to come. Or not too frequent. If you're coming for short durations, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, you're out. Coming in and you're coming out. So Allah Pak is not allowing you to sit there for long durations. That means there's something, some problem, right? You only invite that person that you respect, you like, you have a liking for. Poverty or constraints is not to be looked at with contempt. There's hadith, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will call the poor, right? And He Himself will apologize to the poor because of their poverty. Imagine Allah Ta'ala, His honor, His grandeur, right? His majesty, and He's apologizing with who? He's apologizing with the poor. So Allah Ta'ala has got a personal attachment with the poor. Personal attachment. We don't want to be poor. You don't say, ask for poverty. But then do you see how close these poor are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? All want to be in the bracket. 10, 100, all want to be like that. But then the poor, how close they are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala Himself will apologize, you know, "I kept you in this condition here. The difficulty that you had gone through." So the love and compassion that these people will earn on the day of Qiyamah, the wealthy will hope that, "Hey, had we been like this, we have been thrown in today. For the 70, 80 years we wanted to be wealthy. So we got it, right? 70 years, 60 years, we got it. But now we in a heavy predicament now. We can't be in a jam, can't move out. Small motor car jam, and you can't get out of the jam. What happens? 1 hour, 2 or 3, you're stuck for 2 hours. What happens? Immigration, you stuck up. What happens to you? He was a heavy time here. Just 2 hours, 3 hours, what happens? Hey, we're in a heavy jam here. Don't you feel difficult? There, the jam there on the day of Qiyamah won't be 2 hours. For some people, it'll be 2 years, 3 years. They're jammed up, they can't come out. It's not one day, it's a year. For some people, 10 years, 20 years. In that sweat, in that perspiration, in that heat, desperation. And they jam, they can't come out of it. And in the meanwhile, the poor have already entered into Jannat. Those poor will enter into Jannat at least half a day. That means 500 years before the wealthy. So we are asking for that, but we are not understanding what is the consequence. So rather than halal and little, then the abundant and contaminated. And with that halal, that little, we are showing respect to the poor. Showing respect, showing a muhabbat with them, right? So on the day of Qiyamah, you will be with those that you showed respect and muhabbat. Now you wanted wealth and you did mixed up everything, robbed and cheated and broken your promises and all that. Did everything. You got the wealth, you amassed the wealth. Then, the problem will start after that. People don't realize that this is what you eat, it will bring problems, right? Are you you have an excess of sugar, you have a problem. Cholesterol, you have a problem. So excess of wealth also will bring, when you're not so conscious, you made a plan, somehow you got it halal, and you got it, but now you don't understand the nature of that wealth, so it come with a consequence. If the sugar can affect you, if the cholesterol can affect you, then haram must definitely affect you. Or whether it's doubtful, or you cheated, you robbed, made a plan, you tried to connive, you tried to scheme something, right? So you did all these things there and you got it then, but then now you want to catch it. Somehow you want to get it. You'll get it with disgrace, with all of disgrace you'll get it. So don't play with these things. It's halal, haram, doubtful, don't play with it. The stick of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a hidden stick. Inna rabbaka labil mirsad. Allah is watching. He's like on a tower and he's watching. What are you doing? Playing around, scheming, robbing, making a plan, trying to look for a loophole, somehow to make it halal. In the meanwhile, you understand that you are hurting someone in this loophole, in scheming and all, you are hurting someone. But know that money must come on my side. Somehow that money must come. Right. And then now you have to pay for it. You all just know that some sickness came, some disgrace came, some problems came. Now your wife is not that obedient, children are going off, something is happening. All this is a consequence of that haram. Haram or something that is doubtful, something that is contaminated, some wrong, some place. Cheated someone, you schemed someone, something you did. And then you felt, no, I got away. And this time you will come, this time you will have it. So don't ever think that you want to get away. So this youngster is seeing the chacha. You know, the one that is not allowing me to come out is not allowing you to get into the masjid. In Pakistan, some years ago, some lady and her ghusl was being done. So, as the ghusl was being done, she had a ring, but she was a little bit fat, right? Because she was fat and all that, so that they couldn't pull that ring out. Whereas the ring was a very precious ring, some diamond studded and all that, they couldn't pull the ring out. So they were trying, eventually they said, hey, just buy your mother like that, don't worry about pulling the ring, we can't see all. Forcing the ring out of her finger, bury her like that. So one person is sitting there in the crowd, and he's thinking, in logon ka dimag kharab ho gaya hai. Anguthi kuch tafnane ki cheez hai kya? Their minds are gone off. Oh, this ring here is such a precious thing. Is this something to be buried? But you can see now, it's a very precious ring, you can see it, and he is itching. Anyway, they buried the woman in that state. Now, this person is itching, so he did like he's the part of the family, the friend of that home, saw exactly, marked out the grave where she was buried. Now, in the stillness of a winter's night, 12 hours, starting from 6 o'clock, 5 o'clock, nowadays 5 o'clock, until half past 5 the next morning, right? So over 12 and a half was a lot of time to work. So he marked out the grave and all that. He went and dug up the grave, that he can pull out that ring. So as he digs up the grave, he sees like a bride then. So beautiful, the whole place like is really, really, the grave is done up so beautiful. More beautiful than a bride, the clothing, the presentation, the decor, everything is so beautiful, the type of fragrance that he's getting from the grave. Anyway, he got a shock, he covered the grave up. Now, since I must discover what this woman was doing, for her to earn this type of a reward. She's like a bride here, I don't see a thing like beautiful like the clothing, the decor, the presentation, the fragrance that is coming out. I don't see this thing here. How did she earn this type of a reward? So he found out that the woman had three things in her. Three things she was very particular about. One is, when the azan would be called, she's living in olden days now, you're living in a poor neighborhood. So all find a dozen homes living in close proximity. Everybody's home is small. So in small, so you can afford to have a dozen homes in one small patch of land. So she will ensure when the azan is being called, there will be no noise. Absolutely no noise. Being a bit elderly, she should take advantage of her age. If anyone is making noise and all that, she will reprimand. And if she needs to give him one, two slaps, she won't hesitate doing so. Azan, just show the respect. Don't you talk, don't show an indifferent feeling towards the azan, show the respect. Herself, she was an ignorant woman, not a learned, educated woman, but this respect, see, like I've been saying from the beginning of Ramadan, Mawlana Hamid Sahib Allah Singh says that the deterioration in deen is because of this. The respect and the honor we're supposed to be showing to deen and the people of deen, we're not showing it. So we're not taking deen anything serious, slight. Or you can make a plan here, you can squeeze something here, you can do something here, do something. Right? Do it, and then after that you have to face the consequence. Eating the spice and the chilies and all now, today. Tomorrow in the toilet you're going to catch it. So whatever you're going to do, just try to catch it for it. It doesn't go without a reward. It comes with a consequence. Now you're eating now, you're enjoying the spice, the heat and all, you're enjoying it. This time it will come out, and the amount of fireworks that it will go through, right? Be ready for that as well. So you're eating all this, all this type of thing you're eating, now this type of fireworks will come. So, anyway, the second thing the Sunil was very particular about, first one was about azan, very particular. Nobody must talk. Listen to the azan respectfully. Number two, she was very particular about children learning Quran and talim, you know, how we have talim in the house and all that. Very, very particular. They must, Quran Sharif, they must learn. She couldn't read. She's a jahil old woman, but all children, whoever, they must make talim, must read Quran Sharif, they must do it in the homes. As far as she could, she pushed for it, right? Some people are, for some reason they couldn't do it. But then, they will ensure that the children and the household will do it, right? You will find an elderly person sometime wrongfully is gone into smoking, right? But he can't see his household getting into smoking. He went into it, right? Smoking 10, 20, whatever. He went, spoilt it. He messed it for himself. But for his children, for them to go and do it, no. So you find a lot of elderly people, they're good in their thinking, their reasoning, right? They can't read Quran Sharif well, but that child of mine must become a Qari Sahib, read Quran Sharif very well. Tajweed, everything must read, and must learn the Quran Sharif very well. But he, you ask him to read on Quran Sharif, he can't read one line properly. So they have the respect for deen, see this respect for deen, learning deen, teaching deen, they have the respect. Allah Pak likes this. So this was the second thing that this woman was very particular about. And the third thing that this woman was very particular about was the laws pertaining to modesty, shame, haya. You know? Very particular, very, very particular. A woman is dressed, not dressed correctly, you don't mind. She won't hesitate shouting, making a big noise about it. She won't hesitate doing so. So Allah Pak liked these three works of hers. Although she was doing it, she had a respect for it, she had respect for deen. And then she had to just pass away, and this was the reward. Now, if someone fat had passed away today, she didn't go for a diet, she didn't go to the gym, you know. She had gone for a gym, she had got a good body. How can she be like a fat and dumpling like this? Or if she went and gymed and all that, and after that, the gym, you know, gym, eh? And she went to the Jahannam. And then, she showed her body, gymming and cycling, running around the whole street. She showed, she had a very good body, right? The gym, this side was, she went to the gym. And that side, Jahannam. See that? Showing her body, running around, cycling, walking with everybody, right? And then, eventually, where the gym took her? Jahannam. Was it worth the while? You showed your body, your figure, trigger, all that, everything came up right. But then eventually, what you got at the end? This is what you got. Rather, you remain fat. I won't say become fat. Naturally, you became fat now. It's alright, not a problem. Not a train smash. This will take you to Jannah. That modesty, that shame, that respect for deen, this will take you to Jannah. But the sunnah will definitely take you to the other side. It won't take you to the right side. So you see the respect for deen, respect for shame, modesty. These are all the elementary things in our homes. Anything to do with deen, but respect. Quran Sharif, you see the old people, right? Up to now you'll find old people, old aunties, dadis and nannies, right? They'll have the Quran Sharif, you know, big juzdan, gilaf over it, two gilaf, they'll take it out, and then they'll kiss the Quran Sharif, they'll put it near the heart, they'll have a taqiyah, they'll open it, right? With so much of respect, you know? So much of respect. See? Now, this respect of this, on account of the respect, the deen continued with their children. And then now, if we are going to leave out and discount that, decrease that respect, we just go for the education, children educate, but they won't have respect for the Quran Sharif. Now you see, a child going to an Islamic school, and he's got his satchel, and with all his other textbooks and all that, the Quran Sharif is there, and he's swinging below his waist. So does he show respect for the Quran Sharif? No respect for the Quran Sharif. When there's no respect now, then the deen is gone out of the home. There's no respect, the deen is gone out of the house. Now, it will be just a matter of time that he will display all this irreligiousness. Just a matter of time. So this that is coming out of our homes now, a concerted effort has to be made to bring these values. See, if you got a value only for material, but value for deen, anything that is connected to deen, may you ask them sha'air Allah. You know, it will bring not only dunya, not only deen, it will bring dunya also. You know, you hear of the king of India, Mahmud Ghaznavi, right? The very great king of India, right? He became a king, and this kingdom remained in his progeny for approximately seven generations. Him, then his child, then approximately 250 years, seven generations, right? Because one generation is about 40 years. So seven generations, 280 years, approximately 250 years. So how it came? Everybody talks about him, but how it came? He says that one reputable, respectable Buzurug Alim was there, you know. And he made sure that he doesn't go in front of him. They entertained him, showed his respect, gave hospitality, and he made sure that he walked seven steps behind him. Spoke with respect, in a very low, respectable voice, entertained him, respected him, and gave the hospitality, and then showed all the respect that he could. And then that Buzurug, that Alim, made dua for him, that may you be honored like you honored me. Show me honor, you show me respect, so that honor must remain with you and your progeny for seven generations. And true to his word, I think it remained for about 280 years, 250 years approximately, it remained with him. So you see, the respect will not only bring you deen, but it will bring you dunya as well. Both will be covered. Your dunya will be covered and your deen will be covered, but respect. Anything, small thing of deen, big thing of deen, ulama, righteous people, masjids, madrasa, wherever the Quran Sharif is being learned, taught. So all these things, all these places are supposed to be respected, supposed to be showing muhabbat, supposed to be showing love for it. And then Allah Ta'ala will preserve you, the deen, not only in you, but in your coming generations as well. And then it's not only deen that will be preserved, but your dunya will also be preserved. Allah will take care of both. Allah Pak Tawfeeq Naseeb.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma anta as-salamu minka as-salam. Tabarak Rabbana wa ta'alayta thal jalali wal ikram. اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. لا إله إلا الله الحليم الكريم. سبحان الله رب العرش العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. نسألك موجبات رحمتك وأزائم مغفرتك والغنيمة من كل بر والسلامة من كل إثم. لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته، ولا هما إلا فرجته، ولا دينا إلا قضيته، ولا مريضا إلا شفيته، ولا جاهلا إلا علمته، ولا مسافرا إلا بلغته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم إن قلوبنا ونواسنا وجوارحنا بيدك، لم تملكنا منها شيئا، فإذا فعلت ذلك بنا فكن أنت ولينا وهدنا إلى سواء السبيل. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، وحسن أولئك رفيقا. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى، ولا تجعلنا سببا لمن ضل وهوى. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، واجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأنت المستعان وإليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Allah, the most kind, the most merciful, the creators of the heaven and the earth, forgive our sins, O Allah. We are drenched, we are soaked in sins, O Allah. Forgive our sins, O Allah. Allow us to take the maximum benefit of this month of Ramadan, O Allah. The month is ending, O Allah. And if it did not achieve your forgiveness, your maghfirat, then the whole purpose and objective is defeated, wallah. Wallah, don't allow us to be from the baddu'a of Jibreel alayhi salam when he said that destroy the people that were in the month of Ramadan and did not get the maghfirat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallah, allow us to take maximum benefit of this month, wallah. Allow us to take the maximum benefit of the Quran, Allah. Allow us to take maximum benefit of Hazrat Mufti Sahib, Allah. Allow Hazrat Mufti Sahib's hand to be over us for a long time, Allah. Allow us to learn to take your name, Allah. Allow us to take your name in every step of our lives, O Allah. Allow us to take your name in every breath we take, O Allah, in your obedience, O Allah. O Allah, forgive our sins, O Allah. Guide us to the straight path, O Allah. Remove all the hurdles and obstacles from our path, O Allah. Guide us to Sirat al-Mustaqim, O Allah. Don't let Shaitan mislead us, O Allah. We are very weak, O Allah. We are not worthy, O Allah. We are not worthy, O Allah. If it is because of our sins, the earth would have swallowed us, O Allah. But it's just because of your rahmat and your mercy that we are still on this earth, O Allah. Every step of ours is in sin, O Allah. Allow that this every step be in obedience, O Allah. Allah, forgive every sin of ours, O Allah. Whether it was in the brightness of the day or in the darkness of the night, knowingly, unknowingly, intentional, not intentional, Allah, every son of ours, forgive them, Allah. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khariq al-khayy Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.